Hey there, party animals. Dieter and Hutch on a Friday night. Where would you rather be? Out there having fun, doing cool things, or spending some time with the really cool kids?
That's right.
Friday night.
I
just got done taking a nap on my daughter's floor, so you know that we're ready to rumble the night.
And what was it that put you to sleep, Dieter?
It was putting my daughter to sleep. It was a very conducive environment to sleep. Also, life put me to sleep.
Nice.
Let's talk about the 49ers and the Bills. This game is not what NBC thought it was getting. That said, they might get a visual extravaganza with snow. I would like to remind everybody of my take that has been decried as awful, horrendous, and punishable by death.
Downright cowardly by some.
That all NFL games should be played in domes. You all look poor without a roof. That's what I have to say to all the NFL teams without a roof. We can agree to disagree, but that's my take.
Why'd you build half a home, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Finish the job. Like, I would get it if, like, the Bengals couldn't put on a roof, but, like, come on now. Oh, it's such a bad take. It's going to start. Let me tell you right now. You know what they do when the games get big time in college football? They start playing them in domes. They don't
wait till it gets too hot outside and they start putting them underground. Yeah. That's a topic for another day.
Now we're talking. We just got done watching Georgia Tech, Georgia, or at least some of it. I started around the fourth quarter and I fell asleep. So
I started in the first quarter and I saw, 17-0. And then I went into a YouTube rabbit hole and then I tried to do some shopping.
What was my YouTube rabbit hole? Yeah.
So I'm trying to reset my algorithm because I watched too many Kendrick videos and now I'm just getting like horrible reaction to Like Us
that videos. Yeah.
And
like almost specifically happened to me on Tuesday night.
Like I'm not interested in what Kai Cenat has to offer. I don't need to watch.
I'm not even that interested in Kendrick.
I'm not even. Yeah. I'm a little bit more interested, but I don't need that. And it's hard to get out of the rabbit hole. They're like, ooh, you want explosive content.
Mm-hmm. We do not provide such a thing, so we're going to definitely hurt your algo here, but is what it is. Also hurt, Nick Bosa, Trent Williams, Aaron Banks, Demetrius Flanagan, fouls, spelled incorrectly here on this BillsWire.USAtoday.com.
Well, that's okay.
And D'Amador Lenore, ho-ho, that's a fun one. That's a new one. D'Amador Lenore.
Arguably the most important player on your defense. He just banged.
This is a deeply important question. When did Punk die? I would say sometime around 2006. One man's opinion. I still think it's going on in the UK. Just a thought.
Well, that's true. It's true. It's like the Midwest. Like everything on the coast gets to the Midwest like 10 years later.
Not. So I listed off all the people who didn't practice who are out. Nick Bosa, out. We knew that already. Trent Williams, out. He's on a scooter. Of course he's out. You can't play with the scooter. Aaron Banks, in the concussion protocol. Deemed out. Makes sense. You're in concussion protocol. That's hard. Actually, this is a great point by Cody. They do have a pretty good punk scene. It's not as good as the UK's right now. I think it has something to do with conservative governments over an extended period of time. Just a general thought.
Nixon, we're off to a roaring start.
Reagan, Bush. Trump did not bring about, of all my quabbles with the man, he did not bring about a great punk scene.
It's true.
He could have done better. Hardcore might be back, though. That's a fun thing. I'm not too super into hardcore, but it might be back. Canada was dominating our show.
Real quick, Hufanga. I think Mike Silver initially reported he was not coming back, and then his agent got mad at Mike. And Mike's like, okay, well, he's going to try and come back and then not come back. So I think that's where it's at.
I miss that. That's interesting.
Yeah. Mike was like, he's done. And then his agent's like, no, he's going to try. And he's like, okay, he's going to try.
Okay. Here's what we do. Here's what we need. And I want this in the comments section. Thumbs up if you think it's going to be a good game. Thumbs down if you think it's going to be a bad game. Because you're already on it. I want you to just follow this thread. And if you give a thumbs up or a thumbs down, you should give us a thumbs up. But you don't have to. Like, legitimately, we're not going to
pay. Well done. Also, by thumbs up or thumbs down, are we talking? Because my thumbs up
Oh, entertaining. Like, we're going to have a game that we can enjoy, unlike the Green Bay one. Oh, you're down?
Well, it's Josh Allen in the snow, so it'll probably be entertaining. From the 49ers standpoint, Josh Allen?
Yeah. Buffalo? I think the Lenore thing is jarring. So now they are missing an impact player on all three levels, or at least have a hobbled version on all three levels of their defense. So Lenore, I know, plays closer to the box and whatever, but he's in your secondary. He's your most important secondary player. He's your best secondary player. He's out. Fred Warner's playing on a broken bone in his ankle. Just letting everybody know.
What did you make of that one? Because we talked about that a lot this week, and I felt like it was just Fred sort of admitting what he was going through because he knows he's not at the level, not being criticized. Some people were like, he's taking shots at his teammates. I don't see that at all.
I don't think it was shots at the teammates. I think he was asked specifically about it for the first time because he is now getting criticized for his level of play. He had a really bad game on second watch against Green Bay. They all had shitty games. His was even more jarring. You know, we did it on the film breakdown. If you haven't watched it, Green Bay looked unstoppable. We broke down some of the really cool run plays. Then you found Kansas City ran the same play against Buffalo a couple of weeks back, which was super cool. Andy, you
and the 49ers should just steal it, should just rip it off. 100%.
It'd be incredible. Regardless, in that there was one. So they ran that play a couple of times, and one time they ran it straight up right at Fred Warner, and he could have broken this thing up in the backfield. Read the play perfectly, just couldn't have done any better, totally whiffed. And I'm not sure, I'm not doing the Twitter thing anymore. Apparently I was the main character on Twitter for a day. That was cool, I guess. I have no interest in any of that nonsense. And I think that somebody somewhere must have said something like, hey, Fred Warner's not playing very well. And that gets traded along the pathway, and Fred Warner's wife sees it. And then, suddenly now Fred feels like he's getting a lot of criticism externally, which maybe he was, maybe he wasn't. But I do think that people started coming for Fred this week. And so he goes, well, assholes, I've been playing on a broken bone in my ankle. I will say this, we have caveated everything as Fred has not been the same since Jake returned. So clearly it's some sort of jealousy thing with Japan. I can't get into the psychosemantics of it, but ultimately, you know, Jake never got to see the full Fred Warner experience. He shows back up and it's over.
Well, yeah, I saw one or two games.
Yeah.
And then that was it. But I do think it's Fred. I mean, I did an interview with him this offseason going into it, and he's like, I want to be the best player in the NFL, which is a reasonable goal for a player like Fred Warner. And when you don't look like that all of a sudden, and people are like, why are you missing tackles? He's like, well, my ankle is broken. So there's a little bit of a reason there. I get it. It's also, but the other thing is, I don't listen to player podcasts. Unless it's like a clip from Draymond saying something insane.
Debo's podcast is so bad they can't even clip it.
Except for this week, but it was...
couldn't even clip it. They don't clip it. They're not even...
Accounts clipped it.
The fan account. One fan account. Brad clipped it. Let's just call it by Brad. Good for Brad. Do your thing. I don't give a hoot. I'm just saying. They can't even clip his podcast. It's so boring at the end of the day. At least Fred clips them. I get some clips of Fred every now and again. Are they interesting? Not particularly. I also don't see what the upside of this is for them.
It's like, kind of tough to be an interesting player podcast while you're still playing.
Yeah. It's kind of like how Tom Brady's a shitty announcer because he can't criticize referees or anybody out there and can't do any preparation. Like, What can you divulge as
good
a player?
Play there, KB?
That's a great play, KB. He's one of your best players, and you're trying to get him a ball on third down. And actually, yesterday during the shockingly semi-watchable Giants Cowboys game, Cooper Rush makes a throw. I think it was to Cooks to effectively end the game.
Yeah,
and it's like, wow, great play there. Threw it where only his guy could catch it, and that's not going to actually end the game, but it's going to get him pretty close. Oh, it's going to end the game, KB. Unbelievable.
I almost just spit out my drink. It's tough. It's tough. Brady's not, he's not good at this. And maybe he will get better, but he's not good at this.
I don't get the sense that he will, because I have watched a lot of his day in the life YouTube videos trying to understand.
It's like Tom Cruise. It's Tom Cruise, right?
Yeah, I feel like Tom Cruise makes really cool movies.
And he's so psychotic about what he does that he does have interesting stories.
Right.
I feel like Brady needs to like be deprogrammed.
Right.
And that's going to take some time.
The issue, because the fundamental issue is that Tom Brady is very concerned about being liked and telling people things that they like. He wants to be popular in this realm as to justify massive investments and time investments into it. And that's just never going to work because it's fundamentally inauthentic.
Yeah, it's tough.
We would never concern ourselves with such things here.
Oh, no. No, I mean, if you're going to do the job, you just have to. The fact that he's like doing this thing where he can't say everything he wants, that's like the whole thing. You want Tom Brady to be like telling stories about some detailed play. He's like, we ran this exact same play 7 years ago. Ray Lewis was telling me he was going to steal my spine and remove my soul from my corporeal form. And I said, no, Ray. And we ran, you know, 12 power and they're expecting play action. Something like that.
It's clearly somebody who, I joke that it's like an AI chatbot come to life, but really like more and more every day, it seems like that because an AI chatbot is just trying to give you the most popular answer, right?
It's just telling you what happened. It's just trying to tell you as lamely as it can what it thinks happened, right?
It's a really tough listen. It's a really, really tough listen. To the point where I'm like, wow, Jason Garrett's killing it on the NBC broadcast tonight.
Did you hear see the thing that he kept like a turkey bone in his freezer?
Yeah, for
like
15 years. Yeah.
I kind of respect it.
Honestly, I was listening there and I go, I'd keep it too.
100%. Like,
you have to have some extra.
Now the 49ers, switching back to the 49ers, they need to bring some, I don't know.
They're going
to
be frozen on Sunday. Lake effect snow in the forecast. Do you want me to explain what lake effect snow is, Jake?
I actually do think, because it's been mentioned so many times.
Okay.
What is lake effect snow?
Go to the board.
Get him a green screen, fellas.
I actually was considering buying one. Not so much for this, but for other things.
We could make a separate meteorology podcast. Anyway, continue.
I would love it. Totally qualified. So, Buffalo, New York is on the edge of Lake Erie. Okay. Lake Erie goes like this. Cleveland's here. You can't see that there. what's happening is you have a low pressure front bringing in cold air from Canada, and it's swooping over the lakes. It's coming over Huron, Ontario, Michigan, and of course, Superior. And
thank you.
And Erie. But when it comes over the lakes at this juncture, the lakes are at about 50 degrees. So what you have is very cold air coming over the lakes.
Ooh.
Evaporation. I wish I had a good Matthew McConaughey in,
a little bit
in
of
impersonation
this.
Because evaporation is a great McConaughey word. We're talking about
got some advection going on.
Yeah. So that then just builds up, right? And it also slows down the front. And then what you get is massive, and I mean massive, dumps of snow. We used to get it in Chicago, and it would never be that bad because we were on the west side of the lake. So you just sort it would just sort of hang over, and then you'd get whatever kind of came up. But coming from west to east, as Buffalo is east of Lake Ontario and just south of, I believe, Huron. Oh, dangerous.
Nice. Dangerous you want stuff. To talk about slowing down a front, Dieter?
Not this 49ers front. They can't get anywhere. And I'm concerned about here's my main concern. This defense is going to look really bad, right? They're giving up 30. I have a hard time imagining a world in which they don't. They can't stop the run. Their pass defense has fallen apart. Now you don't have Lenore. Tarvarius Ward is back. That's great. But Josh Allen can rip it. They
Who's
have
played nickel? Renardo Green?
That's a great question. Probably Renardo Green.
And I like Renardo Green, but I didn't love him at nickel.
So they're going to go with Ward, Yadam. They might put Yadam at nickel.
I don't know if you can put Yadam can't move like that. That's why they trained Renardo Green there. It's got to be Green.
You put Rock Yassin on the outside then, or Yadam?
Yeah, I mean, you've been going with Yadam. I don't think it quite matters.
Well, whoever's playing in the slot is going to get Shakir, who is he's just a little shit.
Shakir'd?
Pretty much.
Shakur'd?
I mean this. This is a high compliment. Like, he's a little shit.
Oh, yeah.
Brock Purdy has been compared to, like, a small dog. Just a little fucker. And I view that as a very high compliment because they're little. They're fucking annoying. Shakir's got some little shit energy in him, too. And that's just going to be a beast of a matchup for whomever pulls it.
Also, Josh Allen is the worst quarterback you could face in the snow. Again, once again,
just going
a human moose with an RPG for a shoulder.
Yeah, it is. It is not ideal. I love their run game. I think their run game has come leaps and bounds. This Ray Davis kid out of Kentucky is really good. Cook is above average. I think that their blocking schemes have gotten way better.
Yeah.
They're mixing it up.
They have a
bad
right guard, Osiris Torrance. But, like, we can't even get into the nitty-gritty of all this stuff because, to me, at the end of the day, the 49ers are weak on both fronts. The interior of both of their fronts are very weak.
And they're number one run blocker.
Correct.
Jordan Elliott, a run stopper.
Whatever, man. Kyle. It's just they have not proven themselves as a serious run defending team or a serious running team because they can't get any push in the run game. And I'm done with being like nice and deferential. Jake Brendel's been bad this year.
Yes.
So has Aaron Banks.
Yes.
They've both been bad. And Dominic Pooney's been good, but he also has had a lot more rookie mistakes than I think people have acknowledged. He's a really good player, and he's going to be a good player.
He's getting overgraded on the curve right now.
Yes, but he's a really good player, but he's had mistakes.
Are you going to hold on to your McKivitz is having a good year take? He had a bad game.
Listen, McKivitz has been solid. McKivitz has been solid. I'm not saying
McKivitz's been your second best offensive lineman?
Yes. Most reliable. He has not had that many mistakes. He's been solid.
The problem is I can't disagree with you. I could, but I can't. Not on
him
this
and,
point.
Him and
That's
Pooney have been fine together.
I agree.
But I think you look at it and you're like, okay, so the 49ers, to win this game, you got to somehow force some turnovers. Maybe Josh Allen gets, you know, high on his own supply, gets all fired up in the snow and just starts going Wyoming Josh Allen. This is the most optimistic view of the situation. He starts going Wyoming Josh Allen, turns it over. The 49ers do what the Bills did to the Chiefs. And they keep him. They keep the offense off the field. Mm-hmm. They're able to run the ball effectively. They wear on the Bills. They're able to control time of possession. And when they get in the red zone, they're able to finish. That is the most optimistic view. That said, I've seen zero evidence that this team will be able to pull that off or come close to pulling it off because they're weak in both trenches. Mm-hmm. And I just think this is a game where the Bills might be the best team in football. They're at least in that conversation. There's no reason to buy in on what the 49ers are selling. I don't even think they're trying to sell anything anymore.
That's kind of what kills me. Like, I'm kind of shocked that Purdy's playing. Does that make sense? Is that fair?
When we were competing on either radio streams this week, that's what we were talking about. I was talking to Lo'Neal, and he's like, I don't think he's like, why would you play? You've got a quarterback who basically, he aside from the elbow injury, mm-hmm. Brock's not a guy with a strong arm. He's he's trying to get $60 million.
Right.
Going into a snow game without his left tackle, you're going to lose this game. What's the point in playing? You're going to have to run the table anyway after this game because you're going to lose this one. I think where the 49ers are coming from and Purdy's coming from is, well, we have run out of time to, you know, try and wait and get a better matchup and run the table. They're just like, this is the best. Purdy makes us better, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
That said, I think you're better off, logically, getting everybody a little bit healthier next week, letting Purdy rest, not putting him through this, and trying to run the table on the other side.
I will say that lines moved a little bit here. Down a point and a half since Purdy's been back in.
5.5?
5.5 now, at least on FanDuel. There's something there. Something to keep an eye on. If weather does cooperate, or I guess in this case, ruin proceedings, that can make things more interesting. I am, I have no logical reason to believe that the San Francisco 49ers will win. Logic sometimes has nothing to do with anything, right? Like sometimes the Bills are just like, oh, this should be easy enough. They don't, unlike Green Bay or Seattle or whomever, they don't have any built up amicus. Like they don't have any of this. Oh, they took me out. You know, their coach isn't thinking about them for 3 years or whatever. The Buffalo Bills do not care under any, they have nothing. There's no history. This is just, this is a non-conference early season money game in college football. There's nothing here. There's no rival.
They're going
nothing.
For the one seed.
I get that.
I'm with you.
They might have a letdown. I don't know who they play next. They are coming off a bye. Yeah. It should be
you
noted.
Could come off slow out of. I also think Sean McDermott has never lost off of a bye. if I'm correct about that, I'm pretty sure he's 7-0. So,
yeah, they get the Rams next. That doesn't do anything for anybody. Wow, Bills Lions on December 15th. Have a game.
Love that.
Looking forward to that.
It's also like weather. It's funny because normally you'd be like, oh, the weather's good for a limping 49ers team that could use an equalizer.
I don't quite understand the logic of bad weather can be an equalizer. It could make the game super shitty, but ultimately...
Yeah, which is could benefit the 49ers if they're going to get blown out and it makes it slower and keeps them in it.
But like the Niners can't run.
Agreed.
They can't stop the run. The Bills can run and do stop the run.
And
so maybe don't turn it into a one-dimensional game. Just a thought.
Yeah, I mean, I just think they're going to get skewered.
Do you think it will be as bad as Green Bay?
No.
Either do I.
No. I think the Bills might make some mistakes and the 49ers. I can see the 49ers actually playing a pretty good game, kind of like they played against Arizona that one year. When they were skewered in 2020 and still losing. I could see this being like 31-23.
Backdoor?
No.
Oh, wow. Straight up cover. Interesting. I do get the sense that Buffalo will mess around a little bit.
Yeah.
But, and I, you know what? I'll say this. Of my 0% optimism, we're up to like 5% now.
I'm with you.
Because Purdy's in there. And you know what? There's something about that guy. Having him away for a week makes you a reminder. It's a reminder. There's something about that guy. You don't want to find out what's on the other side of not giving him $60 million. Because there's something about that guy. He's a little shit. And he can make this game way more annoying than it needs to be. Way more annoying than it needs to be. Now, he hasn't done that really yet this season, but he certainly holds the potential to do that. This might be his opus of annoyance. I
love that.
I'm kind of excited for the possibility of it because it's just him. Debo's washed. CMC's washed. No offensive line. It's him and Juwan Jennings and George Kittle, and let's see what happens from this point on.
I don't think CMC's washed. I do think he's taking his time to get his sea legs under him.
You think that he gets his sea legs under him this week?
I don't think his sea legs are coming back this year necessarily, but
I think that the issue is that the sea legs have washed out to sea, hence...
Well, that's why you need to lose. That's why you need to lose and get everybody a long vacation starting in early to mid-December.
Christian McCaffrey has over... Do I have this right? 3,000 touches in his career.
That's an insane. It's an insane number.
Yeah, 2,365 in the regular season, 45,800 in the postseason. Debo Samuel, by the way, has 602.
He only has 602 touches?
Yeah, and every single one of them, difficult. 602 touches. It's funny, Christian McCaffrey went over 4,000 touches in the last game. Deebo Samuel went over 600 touches 2 games ago. Both of them look completely washed to me. Anything new on Dre Greenlaw? Yeah, he is out for this game. I'm not sure what that says about
him. He's coming back after the Rams game.
After the Rams game?
That's what Kyle said, basically. He said, yeah. They're like, what about next week? He's like, yeah, and then we have the Thursday night game, so.
Is my prediction, I believe I'm on the
You had him coming back on the Thursday night game. I had him coming back, I think, the week after.
I think
he did. So we'll see. We'll see. Okay. But it's not going to be next week. It's not going to be next week. I don't think, Ian, I don't think they're going to be, there's so many bad teams. I don't think they're going to be able to get top 10. I think the hope is like you get to 11. By the way, you want to know the funniest part about this week?
What's that?
Because I've mentioned this to a few people and it's a really funny stat. When they lose to the Buffalo Bills, they will have the same record as the Dallas Cowboys.
That's right. The Dallas Cowboys, who I have consistently maligned as the worst team in football. And I'm really not backing off it. Terrible. I mean, I guess the Giants take the claim now, but
God, the Giants are bad. I love throwing that slop fest on national TV. Just the NFL saying we don't care.
It's a bad game, KB. So we're gonna put it on in the afternoon, KB, and you can eat turkey with your family. That's what you do on Thanksgiving, KB.
God, what a brilliant man.
This is my new favorite bit.
It's great.
I will say it is a great defensive line draft. I want to make something pretty clear here. Like, I know a lot of people are saying, oh, you got to tank. You got to put one. There's no more young kids to play. That is merely just putting Cowing in for Deebo and
running Isaac Garendo
and Garendo in for everybody. Like, that's it. That's all of your young. I guess you could put the Nuge in at center, but he won't do that.
They might.
What do you want to see? Mordecai? Is that where we're at? I mean, come on.
Don't say that or Larry will get mad at you.
Larry's. We'll leave it at that. I'll talk to Larry about it tomorrow morning. There is no, what young players are just sitting in the wings? What second wave of kids do they? They're already leaning on the kids. Their secondary is all baby children. Their defensive line is a bunch of runarounds. Like what? Offensively, they're leaning on Pearsall. They threw Pearsall into the mix because Ayuk gets injured, and they're like, oh, damn, we gotta put Pearsall in. He's the only guy who can beat man-to-man. He doesn't know the playbook. He doesn't know anything. He just got shot.
Yeah, he had very limited OTAs, no training camp.
Yeah.
He's learning on the fly. He needs
and you can tell
the rest of the season and offseason.
I don't think this is Bobby Mira. I don't think Deebo is washed yet. The run back he had versus Green Bay that got called back as an indication. Might seem dumb that the ball that went through his hands. Debo's not used to fastball because BP lobs it a lot. I disagree with the second aspect of this.
Oh.
Sorry, man. It was a bad throw. I'll give it that. But
it was kind of on the money. It was just a bullet behind him, which he had to throw it there.
I'm sorry, man. Like he's not used to fastballs. You get paid $20 million a year to be a wide receiver. Like you don't get to have that caveat in your game. Like, oh no, he's our number one home run hitter. Also, couldn't hit a curveball to save his life.
Great at catching the ball over his head in tough situations, right? Usually.
Detroit last year's NFC championship game, great example. I'll say this about the kick return for a touchdown. Deebo still sometimes hits like 20 miles per hour on the GPS in straight lines. It's not an issue of going in a straight line. The issue is he can't go side to side anymore. And so much of football is quick lateral movements in order to get yourself going north to south. So the idea is he can't get himself open enough so that he can do yak yardage anymore. That was his entire game. His entire game was that Kyle could scheme him up against zone coverage so that he could get yards and yards and yards of space to work with, and he can get that head of steam going up, and then he could just run forever, and you'd be bouncing off of him. He can't get open like that anymore, even when they get zone. He's not doing it against zone even anymore. So the idea is that, oh, if you just get him a lot of open field and open space, good luck. You're going to spend all game looking for one or two looks in that regard. That makes him a gadget player who doesn't have a lot of tools. You're paying him $20 million. $20 million to do that. Like, and by the way, it'd be one thing if this was the final year of his deal and we all move on, shake hands, you're a legend, 19 going up in the rafters, let's do this thing. Like, it's
should have never switched to number one.
Well, I think it was the best thing he ever did. No, everyone will remember number one as his shitty number, and 19 as the last, nice. All of his good years were when he was 19. So the cool jersey will be Debo nice. 19. He knew. It was also the dumbest thing he ever did because it makes it very easy to figure out if he's put on weight or not.
Remember Kyle almost calling him fat?
Yeah.
In the offseason, he's like, it's slimming, right? You guys think it's slimming?
Yeah.
No, he looks good in it.
Like, I'll say this, man. I have, a database of photos from training camp. And pause. I have my Debo photos that I look at night. This is why I'm so obsessed with stripping the C off of him.
Okay.
And when I do the thumbnails for the videos, you search Debo and you get a big stack of Debo photos in chronological order. This is the key. And in that, you can just see, and listen, I'll be the first one to admit it. He and I both, up and down and up and down and up and down. It's wild. It's from where he was at in training camp to today, understandably to a degree, I didn't have fluid in my lungs this year. But man, not great.
Yep, I think, yeah. Debo's not what he was. McCaffrey is not what he was, but he also came back in the middle of the season, didn't have a training camp. I will give both of them one more shot at redemption next year.
Next year, I don't have a choice. So
you don't have a choice because you're probably going to keep Debo. You can trade Debo because if you trade him after June 1st, because his salary is only like $1 million, which
yeah, but they have possible. They have a ton of dead money on his deal.
I'm saying after June 1st. After June 1st.
No one's trading for Debo.
I'm just putting it out there. I think the reality is this team, it would be shocking if they beat the Bills. This team's only chance to me is to come back after this game. They say, all right, we can beat Chicago. Chicago, by the way, has its own mini bye and just fired their head coach. They're probably going to be pretty juiced up.
Dead cat bounce.
It's going to be that one's going to be a weird game. That one's going to be
I look
tough.
Forward to it immensely. I mean this, like that could be like a game that's super interesting. Let's just take a quick look here at the old
you're going to have to zoom
contract.
Way in.
It's not going great, Jake.
Okay. Going to have to get way in there. There you go. Yes. Oh God. All right. Yeah, so Debo's contract is brutal if you cut him. So he's probably on the roster next year. But
this is the pre-June 1. If you just cut him normally,
$30 million dead cap, $16 million in dead cap, in cap space you lose. If it's after June 1st, you save about $5 million.
You get $10 million in dead money, $10 million dead money, $5 million dead money, $5 million. So basically, you're doing the Eric Armstead again.
Yeah, except most of that money, I think, hits the next season. So it's really $10 million and $20 million in dead money, unless it does space out like that.
No, with so the void, it would space out. You'd save $22 million on the void year. That's why the void year's there. They'll cut them. It's a whole thing. A trade, get nothing.
It's the same thing.
It's the same thing.
So realistically, the situation sets up. You try and beat the Bears, which is a team that in any other year you'd wallop, but it's going to be a tricky game because you're an unserious team with a lot of injuries. Then let's say you beat the Bears, you face the Rams. You could, sure, maybe beat the Rams. And then you've got, I think it's Miami away, and then you get the Lions. They got to run the table, and not a single one of those games is easy. And this is, again, at its core, not a good football team because they're weak up front. They don't execute well when it comes to fundamentally how defenses approach them. They struggle against man coverage, and Brock Purdy, whoever's at quarterback, takes a lot of pressure and their protection scheme is kind of bogus, and they make it really hard on anything longer than a third and four, because defenses just throw the house at you from one side and they haven't adjusted all year. I could go on and on and on and on. It's not a good football team. And if they prove us wrong, we have nothing to apologize for, because we're looking at what we've seen so far, which is not a good football team.
Okay. Let's say, just for the sake of argument, they indeed lose to the Bills on Sunday. I know, I'm going out on a limb.
Crazy.
I know. I mean, they're only 6.5, 5.5 point dogs. They're in the driver's seat to go to the playoffs at 4-1. I can't even get through the sentence without laughing. I will say this. I don't think they have to run the table from that point on. They do have to beat LA and Arizona, but they can have a loss. I think they can have a loss, and they can get into the playoffs at 9-8.
I think you're right. The AFC West is a joke.
Right. Seattle's schedule. The Jets, the Cardinals, the Packers, the Vikings, the Bears, and the Rams. No gimmies there. Let me look up the Cardinals schedule real fast. But like, I don't think, as much as we want to say, oh, it's Seattle's to lose now.
No, I was looking at all of their schedules, and all of them have tough schedules. So yeah, Seahawks at Jets, at Cardinals, Packers home, Vikings home, Bears away, Rams away. Cardinals at Vikings this week.
Seahawks, Patriots, Seahawks, Panthers, Rams, Niners.
So they
Cardinals
have
a, get a shot.
The Cardinals have a really good shot. If they were to beat the Vikings, the 49ers are in pretty brutal shape, because the Cardinals will mess around and lose probably at least two more games, but they're going to get to 9.
Are we entertaining the notion of the Rams?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. All these teams are stupid.
Saints.
They Bills. Beat the Saints.
Bills. They're losing that game.
Bills home. At 49ers. At Jets. Cardinals home. Seahawks home. They could go crazy in the division. Who knows?
They could win their last three.
Because realistically, this division's going to cannibalize itself, and the 49ers will have a shot. And that's why they won't shut the season down, which will be worse for them in the long term.
I'm not concerned overall with the idea of, oh, you need to shut it down so that you can get a good draft pick. That shit takes care of itself. Don't do any trailing. It just takes care of itself. If you're in a position, we're drafting 17th and you need to get up to 12th, you can do it. Okay, I'm not sure if this team can do it, but a competent organization can do that. So I don't worry about that kind of shit, right? In fact, it would be the best move for them to just sit and take the best player on either line available. Like, you got a great opportunity. You have so many holes, you can't fuck this up.
Take the best player at any position that's not cornerback.
Or quarter. You know, don't take Shedeur Sanders. Or do it. I don't give a shit.
Not Shedeur.
So,
Drew Allen.
They 100% are not going to pack it in until they lose a game, another game they're supposed to win.
Yeah.
I think that's the issue. Green Bay and Buffalo, we're underdogs. No one expected us to win.
And they're going to be in it because of the NFC West.
So if they lose to Chicago, yeah. If they lose to the Rams, yeah. If they lose to Miami, yeah, because they should be expected to win that. Like, that's right on the line. They're both shitty teams that are exposed in many ways. Arizona, I mean, we'll entertain that when it comes to pass, and we'll know what's at stake. But if they lose to Detroit in the penultimate week of the season and they still have a shot to win the division going into they're not going to care. And then I'll tell you, the worst part is they're going to get a home game in the playoffs because they're going to win the division. Only one team's getting in. I don't think the NFC South is going to present any real challenge over 9-8. They're going to get in with an 8-9 team. So now you get a third. I guess it'll be the Packers or the Vikings probably coming to town.
Then they get the Vikings.
Who knows?
Just
get healthy, Jake.
I swear to you, I do hope it happens, because they'll do this. They will do the most annoying thing of all time if that happens, right? They will, and it's so predictable. So here's how it would go. If they pulled that off, they would eke out these shitty wins over these teams that are not very good.
Right.
After like screwing around for the first
never
half
beating
of
a competent team, never beating correct. A playoff team. Got it.
Correct. Being an absolute joke of a team. They sneak in, they face the Vikings, you know, they eke out and they go in and they eke out
Darnold
a win over
just
them.
Shits the bed.
Darnold is a total disaster.
Oh God. And the amount of Sam Darnold talk before that game,
they have a decent game against Dayball, or not Dayball.
It might be Dayball by then. KOC.
So they do that, and then they go, no one believed in us, you know, all this shit, as if they had any real critics before the season when everyone was giving them the benefit of the doubt, and they just played the most dog shit football of all time. And I'm not saying this for fun. I would love for them to play good football, for me to be covering a team that is interesting week in, week out. We've been wanting some wrinkles of the offense to be doing something innovative and to say, oh my God, look at what they're building towards. But they have not been building towards anything. They have weak fronts on either side. And if they do get in the playoffs, it will be such a weak team. And sure, could they pull it off? Yes. The NFC is a joke.
I don't you know what?
A lot of these teams. Not the whole NFC, but there's a lot of teams that are unserious.
I'll say this. Yeah. It is currently lining up. Vikings, Darnold. There's a world. And then you go to Philadelphia and you play the Eagles. Can't tell me they can't. You're telling me Sirianni versus Kyle, one game?
I'm genuinely hoping for it, because this is absolutely so. I genuinely do want that to happen, because it would be the most stupid, spiteful season. Could you imagine if this is the year they were to get over the hump, just playing the most dog shit football of all time?
No, you know what, Jake? No, I'm going to answer your question. We're dropping the irony, right? No, there's no way that happens. They're not playing like this dog, like the concept of dog shit football. Like, we're not saying like, oh, they're not living up. Like, they're legitimately a bad football team. They're a bad football team. So of course they're going to win two playoff games and go.
This is what we've done to ourselves, because they've been so obviously bad that we've looked around and we're going, the NFC West is also a mess.
It's impossible for us to not be contrarian, and everyone has finally agreed on what we've been saying for 13 weeks.
So now we have to disagree with our own points that we've been making since week four. This is what they've done to us, folks.
How tight does the margin have to be for you to talk yourself into going to the Super Bowl?
What do you mean? Me actually deciding
like
to
this
go?
Sunday, this, cause we, the game hasn't started yet and we're talking ourselves into them, not just winning one, but two playoff games.
Are we really talking ourselves into that?
No, I think that one, they don't make it. And two, I think that the Vikings do the same thing they did to them before, but at least the Vikings one is plausible, cause you're at home and you have Sam Darnold as the opposing quarterback. I will say Eagles is a much better draw than the Packers or the Lions.
And if you get one of those teams to knock each other out, the Lions are also hurting on defense.
Yeah, and it's going to be an issue. They just signed Kwon Alexander. Not kidding. He was on Denver's practice squad. Just hanging out.
Sounds right.
So Lions and Packers. Packers are my pick. Lions. Lions, I believe, are your NFC pick this year. No?
Yeah, I think I went Lions, Bills.
I had Packers, Chiefs rematch of Super Bowl I. By the way, you want to talk about a team playing dog shit football, but at least they win. The Chiefs, unbelievable. Regardless,
that was Lions, they're using such devil magic to win these games, where like Aiden O'Connell's about to beat them and then Jackson Powers Johnson goes, huh? I think the right guard messed up. I know O'Connell.
He did. No, it was a silent count, and he slapped his ass too early, which doesn't deserve an ass slap.
I mean, Antonio Pierce is an idiot, but
he needs this job. He's got a lot of debts he has to pay to car dealerships. Nissan and Hyundai are on his ass. I reread up all of that the other night. It is so bad. Holy shit, it's bad. Lions and Packers in the de facto NFC championship game in the second round. That sounds awesome. And then, Probably.
But that's the thing. It's like, it's still Jared Goff. And if you get a little bit of pressure on Jared Goff, sometimes Jared Goff forgets how to play quarterback.
Yeah, except this team can't get any pressure on anybody. So that's fun. That's the killer. Like, I hope that we don't hear anyone bitch and complain about Bosa ever again. And we all agree. Could it be better? Sure. You imagine getting triple teamed. Like, you can tell who actually, and I don't mean that, I really don't mean this to be holier than thou, or like, this is our job. Okay, we take our job probably too seriously. There are a lot of people who do this for a living who don't take the football aspect of this job seriously and yet present themselves as football guys. I'm not going to name any names. I don't have any personal amicus. I wish we could get away with it. We don't have that kind of skill set. We're not likable enough. Sorry, maybe I'm not. So I got to come with some facts. And ultimately, I can tell who doesn't watch the games back or doesn't watch them with an analytical eye by people who complain about Nick Bosa having a bad year.
Yeah.
Watch a man get triple teamed every single fucking play for a month and then tell me that he's not performing. It's unbelievable.
He's also forced like 3 interceptions.
Right. So
little Dallas Cowboy. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. You don't understand the show.
No.
We are going to bloviate. And now we're going to bloviate even more because this is what we do, pal.
No, who complains about Bosa?
You'd
be surprised. I saw you do it, little Dallas Cowboy.
You'd be surprised. People have complained about Bosa, and it's insane. But to answer your point, no, we will not stop bloviating.
You want a bad take from little Dallas Cowboy? Coaches are overrated.
Come on, man.
Come on, man. You're better than that.
Come on, man.
Come on, man. Chiefs could easily have 5 losses already. Yeah.
But devil magic. Devil magic. Yeah, I think this is where it's at.
What are you doing here?
Listen.
What, do you lack Cowboys content?
This is where we're at, folks. This is where we're at. We are talking ourselves. We are talking ourselves into
We're not talking bags. Ourselves into anything. We're just having
No. Now I am. Now I'm going to say the 49ers
now you
are going
to go real?
Win the Super Bowl, folks.
No.
Despite the
no.
fact that they are a bad football team.
They're going to take.
They're going to do it.
They're going to take.
They're going to run the table.
Bottom third offensive line, their god awful run defense, their baby child secondary, their one good linebacker who's injured, and their offense, which is down their top receiver, a running back who looks like a shell of his former self, their quarterback who's 6 foot nothing, and can't throw it over the line a lot of times, like way too often. Debo Samuel, who is out here looking like flat, like fake Klay Thompson. They got a fake Debo Samuel out there. And, you know, Ricky Pearsall, who got shot.
This is, Dieter, I think
they're
this
taking
might be
it to New Orleans, baby.
This might be our masterclass going, they're going to lose. They're going to be 5-7, predicting a loss and going, and now they're going to run the table. We hate them.
Not that we
actually hate them. They just are so painful to watch. They're so painful to watch. I've never seen them play this badly. And yet, sure,
they're going to do it. The best version ain't the one that wins the Super Bowl. Buddy, this is so far away from the best version. We are closer to Tom Sula than we are to 2019, my friend.
great question here. He will get about 3 to 4 targets this week. They also last week just couldn't even run their offense at all. And Allen missed him a couple times when he was wide open.
They're down 17-0. Like, there's no game plan for that. Like, you're down 17. You're just getting your teeth kicked in. You're finding something somewhere. I mean, I do agree with Kyle, like, hey, we couldn't really get the game plan going. Yeah, no shit. You lost the game in the first 20 minutes. Like, it was done. So, of course you didn't get the game plan going. Do we pull out the getting our ass kicked script? Let's try that. Use those plays normally if those are the good plays.
On the bright side, actually, there is no bright side because it's the 5 p.m. game. I was going to say, at least you don't really get a palate cleanser. I guess you get to watch every other team before this. You know, play some football and then have a nighttime, go to bed angry. So there is actually no good news.
No, it's less than ideal. And Josh Allen should have his MVP game, right? This is the one. This is a great question. Who gets more carries Sunday night, Josh Allen or Mason from Frank Weber?
That's an awesome question. Allen. I would say Allen for sure.
How many carries do you think Allen gets?
It depends how snowy it is, but I would set the line at, you're talking just any, just running the ball at all, right?
Rushing.
I would say he runs the ball six times.
Okay.
Maybe seven.
I'm going to pull up the exact number. I have it at 9 currently, and right, the line is set at 7.5.
I'll say 7.
All right. You can play the over at plus 102. So I'm going to do that. I'm going to play plus 7.5. You're taking the under?
Brock might hit that number too.
That is fact. That is necessary, right? That's one of the things that, as much as we felt it inappropriate to go in on Brandon Allen last week, his inability to run the football when there was nothing there, and my God, a lot of times there's nothing there, not having that shows how critical it was for the 49ers offense this entire year. It's frankly the only thing keeping their head above water. But
remember,
has to find not just one gear. It has to ramp up to two or three more gears than where it's been at. Yeah. I don't see it happening. Milano's back. Sean,
remember, this team has played one good quarter of football against the Dallas Cowboys in the third quarter, and that's the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah,
but
we're not considering the Jets game good football.
I don't care, Dieter. The Jets don't count as a football team.
They played three good quarters against Arizona and the Rams.
Oh, my God.
If they took the Dallas quarter and they just stacked it onto the Rams game, I feel like we have a very different emotional tenor to the season.
Oh, 100%. I mean, I asked you that weeks ago, if they had not blown that Rams game, like, where are we standing in the season? And it's a totally different place.
I just think it's a different emotional place. And they're,
I think that matters.
6-5. Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
I think in closing, this team is obviously going to win the Super Bowl.
Right. No, they've really been waiting for a wake-up call, and Sunday the Buffalo Bills are going to give it to them. It's going to take them 13 weeks, but they're going to be like, oh, damn, we might not make the playoffs. And
I actually can't tell you how fucking funny it would be for this team to win the Super Bowl. It might be the funniest thing I've ever witnessed.
They'd have to disband the NFL.
Yeah. It would be awesome.
They have a 0 point differential. This is the most mediocre team in all of football.
That's sick. 0 point differential is kind of cool.
Yeah. And I mean, you can't say that they weren't working on it, because Green Bay just completely wiped the entire thing out in one game. They had enough positives. Jake, you know, my conspiracy theory this season, we're not conspiracy theorists, but my one conspiracy theory is that the Khalil Davis trade was specifically made to assuage the fears of a media that wasn't paying attention. It's like, oh, they got a defensive tackle at the right deadline. Like, everything's going to be fine there. And my new theory is that they're actually rope-a-doping us personally. They're like, we're going to let these guys go and just tear them to shreds. And we're going to make them look so fucking stupid by just ramping it up at the very last second. That's the plan, right? That's the plan. Right?
Sure. Sure. If they start playing good football, I'll acknowledge that they're playing good football. They just have not.
What I wouldn't give to watch
football on Sunday. I would love to see it. I would honestly love to see it.
I have to go search for good football in my own time. I don't have time. So just give it to me when I have to watch it.
Yeah, and either let's be clear. Either let us start watching draft tape.
Right.
Or run the goddamn table. Don't hang out in this middle ground anymore. Go get crushed by the Bills and run the table, or have the most embarrassing fitting loss of all time to the Chicago Bears.
Kyle's just been saving the secret playbook for now.
Sure, have the Trey Lance package.
It's 11-on-11 football.
Fullback run up the middle. The fullback is your quarterback.
This is, I think we've now said this four times. Brock Purdy legacy game? Huh? the $60 million man?
After being like viewed as like a really bad weather quarterback.
What if I forgot about Brock being such a shitty bad weather quarterback? They're going to lose by 50. Ben Johnson of the Bears is the worst kept secret in all football. That was the job he wanted last year. He kind of sabotaged his own interviews in other places because he thought the Bears were going to come back around at some point. They never did. Ben Johnson to the Bears. Yeah, that's going to be good. That's going to be interesting. I look forward to that.
Do you think they'll pay for a first class ticket on his flight? Or will they fly him coach like Dan Quinn?
They take the job. I think that they will buy a first class ticket for the flight. Actually, I don't think that they'll even buy a ticket. I think that they will straight up fly a private jet to him.
Wow.
And I think that he will definitely get it. Now, I had been maintaining for a while, Robbie 439 coming in, Eberflus, a very viable option. I'd say he goes number two on the guys who are going to replace Nick Sorensen depth chart to Ulbrich. So
let's do it.
That's where we're at.
All right, folks.
Whatever that was. Jake, final score prediction, go.
I think I said it before, 31, let's say 30-24. I think I said 31-23 earlier. Let's go 31-23.
37-17. Bills.
Thanks for clarifying. All right, folks. I think I've about lost my voice.
Yeah. We are delirious, and we will talk to you on Sunday night late.
Appreciate you, folks.
Adios. Appreciate you.